Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren with Columbus Mayor Jim Linup. Hello and welcome.
Hello, Joe. Good to see you again.
Same here. Well, it's a day after Memorial Day. We do this on Tuesdays, a day of remembrance. But for some, a three-day weekend, maybe one of the biggest holidays, especially with better weather now that a lot of the restrictions have been loosened for the pandemic. But you know, you kind of can't help feel that things are really starting to open up, you know, box stores, masks only for those who are non-vaccinated, you know, restrictions lifted, but still not really close to herd immunity. What's the plan right now?
Well, the plan is that we're going to follow the governor's guidelines, which in essence says if you're vaccinated, you're not expected or required to wear a mask. If you are not vaccinated, we expect you to wear a mask. We understand that that's going to put a lot of people on the honor system, and we understand what that means. So we may encourage some of our employees to continue to mask up just to, you know, provide a little protection for themselves if they feel the need to. But so far, the information that we've been given is that the vaccines are very effective. And so if you are vaccinated, you should be protected. But yeah, we will continue or start rather to open up city facilities. We had opened the pool over the weekend. We still got some limitations in place with respect to the number of people that we allow in the facility at one time. Because we, you know, nonetheless, even though you're outdoors, we're nonetheless concerned about crowding. And so we want to try to limit the attendance at our Donner Pool and elsewhere too, other you know, outdoor events. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, Memorial Day, I mean, you use that phrase, the reason for the season. I mean, it's to, we have that holiday to take some time to pay a little thanks, pay a little tribute to those who have served, and particularly to those who lost their lives while doing so. But at the same time, a great many of us sort of use it as the unofficial starter's gun for the summer and, you know, summer holidays and summer plans, you know, summer recreation. So yeah, it's a little bittersweet from that perspective. We, you know, celebrated that Friday night here with a concert we call Salute. We, again, it was outdoors. We tried to limit the attendance to about 1,000. That wasn't too hard to do, given the weather. It was pretty dreary Friday night. But yeah, we try to sort of celebrate, you know, the contributions that the armed services folks have made over the years, and, you know, try to pay a little respect to those who have fallen. But at the same time, use it to kick off, you know, the summertime activities.
And, you know, what a difference a year makes, you know, more openings. You talked about the pools opening. Right. Are government buildings, city meetings, are those back to being open at some point?
Right. The city meetings will be open. Again, we'll ask people to wear a mask if they're not vaccinated. But we won't be checking cards or anything like that. So yeah, you know, if we've got a city council meeting, in fact, we've got one this evening, you know, the public will be welcome to come on down and join in the discussion.
Hospital rates right now low still?
They are due to COVID. My understanding is that occupancy at CRH is high, but the number of people in the hospital, or at least in the ICU related to COVID issues, is relatively low. Last number I saw was five, mm-hmm. five people.
Any updates on the American Rescue Plan Act funds? Have you heard anything more on that?
No, we continue to try to work through, you know, what our needs are. We've sort of focused on a four-tier funding type system. I mean, we'll take a look first at city tax receipts that have been reduced due to COVID during the pandemic. That'd be tier one. So property taxes, local income taxes, maybe some of the fuel taxes that fund our motor vehicle and highway funds. You know, we'll try to replace those. The second tier would be city agencies that depend upon user fees to fund their operations. And so our utilities department, you know, experienced a decline in revenue due to COVID. Parks department has, you know, charges during the summer times and elsewhere for some of the programs that they sponsor. So, you know, we'll try to replenish those lost revenues. Then we'll look to community agencies, social service agencies that have a tie to the city, and two in particular come up, Millrace Center and Foundation for Youth, because both of those buildings that are used for those activities are owned by the city. And so we're very concerned about making sure that the maintenance is maintained, you know, on both of those facilities. So we want to make sure those agencies are adequately funded. And then the fourth tier would be social service agencies that, you know, have had a decline in funding. And that happened in general because, you know, many of the signature events that these agencies have to raise funds for their activities were either canceled or curtailed because of the pandemic. And so we've reached out to the local United Way leadership to help us identify, you know, where those funds ought to go. And then I think there'll probably be a fifth tier, and that'll be just to hold back some money. I don't know that we want to spend it all at once kind of thing. There may be some needs that develop as time goes on. 12/31/24 is the deadline for spending this money. So it's not like we need to rush right out, you know, and do all this right now. I think it makes some sense to try to hold back and maybe see where some of the greater needs might surface.
What about the next big holiday coming up? People might be wanting to make plans July 4th. Are things back to normal in Columbus?
Well, it depends on what you call normal, but I think we're getting there. I mean, the last folks from CRA told me the other day that I think we vaccinated 48 or 49,000 people in Bartholomew County. You've probably got 10,000 people under the age of 12, you know, so really not eligible for a vaccine yet. So you put those two together and we're beginning to get a percentage that approximates where we thought we would be able to get in terms of, you know, herd immunity and so forth. So given another month for everybody to complete the second round of their vaccines, if they've chosen that approach, my guess is we'll be at a point where we can take one more step toward normalcy and hopefully enjoy some fireworks and hot dogs and whatever else, you know, comes along at the 4th of July. I still think even then, and probably through the rest of the summer, we'll still be encouraging social distancing, you know, not being cooped up inside a facility with a bunch of other people and not being in close proximity, even outdoors. You know, I think we've read some a little bit about folks who maybe in their early years were not vaccinated for diseases like the mumps or the measles or what have you, and those diseases are still out there, and so it's unfortunate as a 20-year-old or 30-year-old or 40-year-old to contact or contract any of those ailments, and my guess is that the coronavirus is going to act very similarly in that it'll be around. And so if you've not been vaccinated, you may get through this summer here and think that you're in the clear and then find yourself at Disney World or Colts game or someplace where there's a large crowd. And guess what? You know, the coronavirus is still sort of blowing around in the breeze and you got it. So I would continue to encourage everybody to get vaccinated. And hopefully, you know, by the end of the summer, we'll, you know, have numbers that exceed 70-75%, but time will tell. We'll see what we're able to get to.
Are you hearing or seeing any uptick in requests for, you know, building business proposals, or investors still, you know, holding back a little bit?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I haven't received any statistics that indicate one way or the other. We, you know, one of the things I do try to keep a close eye on are requests for tax abatements from some of the industry here in town, because we think that that's a pretty good measure of economic growth. One of the things we're always after here in Columbus is to increase our assessed valuation beyond inflation. And that tax abatement request is a good a good indicator whether that economic growth is occurring. And candidly, here in the last year, we've had very few. I can think of two off the top of my head where in a normal year we might have 12 or 15. So I do continue to harbor some concerns about how the economy will respond to the pandemic. But really, mostly what we hear right now is concerns about labor issues, you know, with the manufacturers here. So we'll solve, I guess it's a one thing at a time, you know, we're going to solve the problem in front of us at the moment. And right now that for them seems to be labor.
Yeah. Well, I see some good news, Columbus Regional Health, with some plans for that former Clarion Hotel site there as you enter Columbus from Bloomington.
Yes.
I believe it's a Bloomington firm that's developing or bought some of that land, and then CRH is going to use some of it as well.
Correct. They've announced plans to try to develop that property. I mean, as you're aware, it sat vacant for a few years, and I'm happy to see that. And the plans that they've brought forward are exciting. You know, it'll be a neat addition to the community, and it'll also add a presence for CRH out there on the interstate.
Does this affect anything Columbus Regional Health is doing with their involvement with the Fair Oaks Mall?
Not to my knowledge. The effects that have happened out at the mall are pretty much the same for us as it is for them. And that relates to the pandemic and just trying to understand what our revenue streams are going to be and how people ought to gather. You know, I think at one point they had very ambitious plans to put a great deal of facilities and a great deal of people into what had been the former Carson's space. And so those have changed. I think they've scaled back their plans a little bit, and we have too, you know, and the staging has all changed and so forth. They're prepared to they'll go forward. I think we're going to be spending this rest of this year in what they call the planning stage with the architects and the engineers, where we design either first conceptual plans, and then once those are approved, then we get some more fine-tuned drawings as to, you know, what wall goes where and where to put the lighting and so on and so forth. But hopefully, you know, we'll take a step forward this evening, I hope, with City Council. They'll be asked to appropriate funding for architects and a construction manager. And so we'll start the process soon with respect to trying to configure what it is exactly that we want to build. You know, we've talked from time to time about the size of a field house and the type of structure. But until we get some harder numbers from those folks, we really haven't been able to phone in on a final decision, whether it's 100,000 square feet, 125 or 150. That's a decision we have yet to make. We'd like to go with 150, but we'd like for it to be, all within budget. So, you know, you got to try to figure out a way to make all that work. But that's the next step. I mean, that'll be this evening with respect to hopefully approval by the City Council to appropriate the funding for those two contracts.
Great. An interesting report I wanted to ask you more about. I know this was a few weeks ago, but human bones discovered at a construction, what will be the new probation department. And the report was it could be Indian burial ground. What, do you have any updates on that?
Yeah, it's not an Indian burial ground. That is okay. Not true. But these are some old bones. It's just a little surprising, but the guys were, the contractor was out there on site and trying to uncover a sewer line. Now this sewer line was built or installed back in 1910 or 1920. Some time ago, the sewer line's about 20 feet down. Well, somewhere at about 7 feet, they found some human bones mixed in with other types of bones. There were some cow bones and pig bones, you know, in the mix. Protocol is when you uncover bones like that, you contact the county coroner, whose initial determination is whether or not there's a crime scene there. And he quickly determined that no, I don't think that exists. That soil had not been moved since the building was built on that site back in the 1970s or 80s. But once they determine that, then they have to focus in on the age of the bones. And if they think the bones are aged prior to 1940, then we contact the Department of Natural Resources, which we did. And they sent down an archaeologist who further determined that the bones were likely a couple thousand years old, and that we needed to do some anthropological work, you know, try to unearth whatever other bones might be nearby, as well as contact a couple of tribes. And so, you know, the DNR will, on our behalf, contact representatives of, I think it's the Delaware and Shawnee tribes, but don't quote me on that, but a couple of them, and basically ask them what would they like for us to do? You know, do they want us to leave the bones where they are? Do they want us to rebury them somewhere else? Should we send them to the tribes? We'll get some guidance from them as to what they want done, and then we'll follow that. Because at the end of the day, I mean, these are human remains, and we want to be respectful, even though, you know, these are people who we have very little connection with. You know, they need a similar kind of safe resting place, just like we all hope for. So we will get some direction from the tribes and then proceed. At the same time, construction on the site will continue. We'll just work around the area where the bones were found. The sewer line that we were trying to locate, we will reroute, you know, we'll proceed forward. But yeah, we had a couple afternoons there where construction was halted at that site, and so it's just always interesting. You never know what you're going to get into.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's not a major setback, like you said.
No,
yeah. I want to just follow up on, you were talking about city council meeting, I believe tonight. This is being recorded on Tuesday. There's a sewer rate increase. Is that a tonight proposal for city council as well?
Yes. Yeah. We'll consider revising the sewer rates, wastewater and water rates. You know, kind of a situation you find yourself in government where we are loath to increase rates or prices or taxes or any of that kind of stuff. And so we find ourselves where every so often you just have no choice. And I want to say with respect to the wastewater rates, yeah, it's a significant increase, but it's been 25 years. And so you may look at it and say, well, that's 75% or whatever the number may be. Well, yeah, you divide by 25, it's 3% a year, which again, you know, is not, that by itself is not a big number. What we find ourselves in situation two is where you typically don't request a rate increase until you absolutely need it. You know, we don't do this because we haven't raised rates for a while. I mean, we're not doing it because we're doing this because we literally are close to running out of cash. And we've got a significant building permits, we've got significant building projects that we need to pursue. We've got some sewer lines in the city that are 100 years old, and they're doing what you would think a sewer line 100 years old would do. You know, in many cases, they collapse, or we've ended up with sinkholes, particularly in the 3rd and 4th Street areas by California and Chestnut Streets. And so we have to react to those, with repair work, and we prefer to react to them with a little bit of proactivity and try to replace those lines, or similarly gauged lines, you know, before we have to. We've also got a little bit of an issue out on the west side there by the interstate. We need to add to the sewer capacity that serves the hotels and restaurants out there. So it's a combination of, finally waiting as long as we could possibly wait to raise rates, as well as a need for repair work and some capacity expansion. So it's all come together, unfortunately, right now. So we will deal with that this evening's city council meeting as well.
Yeah, well, I'm Bloomington, Monroe County has one approved. I know Nashville is dealing with this. Dax Norton over there last week
Right. Said
the next crisis is water and sewer services. And again, speaking about water infrastructure or sewer infrastructure, 100 years old. So this is happening all over in every city we talk with. Just to give some of the residents an idea of that proposal, how much would an average bill raise within the next year or so, or how does that work out?
Well, I don't have the numbers with me right now, but I can share with you that right now Columbus is among the least expensive of any community in Indiana. And even after the increases, we will still be among the least expensive. Now, yeah, it's going to go up. So a $34 bill may become a $40 bill, but we will still be, you know, a much less pricey place to live than some of our neighbors. You know, Columbus is it's just kind of fortunate with respect to water. I mean, we sit here on a very large aquifer, and it means that when we drill a well, it's really a high producing well. The water is cheap for us to get to. There's a lot of pressure, you know, that fills the well. And then we're fairly flat, except for, you know, out in the Tipton Lakes area. The city of Columbus is relatively flat, so the requirement to pump this water all around the community is just not that expensive. I mean, you pump it up, you know, to a tower, and you're done. You don't have to pump it up a large hill or a mountain or anything of any significance. So part of what we enjoy here is low cost for water and wastewater, and that's really going to continue after this is over. It'll be a little bit of a jolt, I'm sure, for some industry and for some homeowners, but it'll still be less here than it is most other places.
I know we're getting just a few minutes away from our time, so I just wanted to leave this up to you. Any other big announcements or anything else you'd like to fill us in on?
No, I share with you that we picked a name for what has been Fair Oaks Mall. We want to call it Nexus Park. That'll be your connection to health, wellness, and recreation. And I want to remind everybody that this really does solve a couple of problems for us. I mean, our Parks Department does a five-year plan every 5 years and identifies what the upcoming trends are in recreational needs for our community. And 5 years or so ago, they identified indoor recreational facilities and indoor programming. Part of that's because, you know, people try to recreate. It's a little tough to do outdoors. Particularly during the winter months. We've got a population that's getting a little bit older, and so the need for indoor recreation continues to be acute. And I will say, too, that we spend a lot of money taking care of Donner Center. Yeah. You know, Donner Center is sort of the park's headquarters right now, so part of our plans for Nexus Park is to move those park's headquarters and some of the meeting or event facilities there up to Nexus Park. So anyway, it's something that has been on our radar screen for a while. We got delayed here because of the pandemic, but yeah, we hope to be able to take a step forward tonight and Nexus Park can become a reality. So, you know, stay tuned. It should be fun.
Great, great. For my reporting, how do you spell that Nexus? Is it?
Right now we're doing Nexuspark. One word.
One word. Okay.
Yeah, one word with the N and the P capitalized. So we'll see. We'll see what the graphic artists.
I want to make sure I have that right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. And those listening, watching, don't forget you can send a question to news@indianapublicmedia.org or on Twitter @AskTheMayor. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.